from public school. It's right after chapter 11. If you were homeschooled, 3 times 4. If you're Christian schooled, 24 times 2. If you're a math genius, the square root of 144. So, if you're a relativist, who cares where you're at? It doesn't matter. That's the funnest thing to debate these atheists. It's like, there's no such thing as truth. There's no such thing as lies. There's no such thing as anything. I mean, and then I always accuse them of bibliophobia. Bibliophobia. That's a good... I mean, you got everything else, so let's get them for bibliophobia. You refuse to look at the Bible, you narrow-minded bigot. And smile. Okay, Ezekiel 12. Okay, let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand your words. I pray that you'd help us to know what we should believe by believing the words, and secondly, if there's some things that it could help us in our walk with you and in our walk with others, help us to be able to pick that out. And Lord, we thank you for your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Ezekiel, remember, he's a priest. And he was taken captive on the second military campaign of Babylon over around Israel or Judah. Chapter 8 is where this section begins, where this vision begins, and a bunch of things going on. And being a priest, anywhere he went, people recognized him, the Jews recognized him. And remember, if he's limited to Babylon, he's... influencing 4,600 people. That's how many Jews were taken captive in the 3 installments. Okay, and so the Lord has them do certain things, and some of them are very strange. But yet the Lord's trying to work with these rebellious people. Okay, so chapter 12, verse 1. The word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house. And Ezekiel said, you're not telling me anything new. Okay, which have eyes to see and see not? They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Okay, now that idea was given to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. That passage is probably the most quoted passage in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans mentions it. And then Hebrews. He writes it in Hebrews chapter 5. Okay, where people are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I don't know if I'm ever going to do it, but I'd like to have a banner. Okay, where the title is Ever Learning, Never Able to Come to the Knowledge of Truth. And then the second headline is You Don't Know Where You Came From. So you have a guy looking back and forth between a monkey and a man. And you don't know who you are. So then you have the O and the arrow. So you don't know if you're male, female, or what. Adult, right? You don't know who you are. And you don't know where you're going. And then have a grave and an animal, a worm chewing on a body. Or hell. Isn't that where people are at? They don't know what they are. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's a sign of a judgment of a nation. Okay, rebellious house. Remember that rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. When a person has that attitude of rebellion, a spirit will be hanging around. Maybe more than one. And that accompanies it. Okay, then verse 3, he says, Therefore, thou son of man, prepare thee stuff for removing. Now, nobody ever uses that word. It's a very archaic word. You probably won't hear anybody ever use that word, stuff. I mean, it's got to be updated. King James is so far out of date. And so, stuff, I mean, how, you know, archaic is that? Ha ha. I mean, stuff, that's used all the time. That's one of those so-called archaic words that's common. The new Bibles change it because they're out of date. So prepare these stuff for removing. So suitcases, clothes, books, or whatever he's got. The Lord says, I want you to move this, put it in a box, and I want you to move this in the sight of the Jews.
He said, remove by day in their sight, and thou shalt remove from thy place to another place in their sight. So being a priest, he's not hid. They know who he's, and they're probably saying, what are you doing, Ezekiel? What are you doing? What are you doing? And then notice it says, it may be they will consider. Whatever happened to positive thinking? It's like the Lord standing at the church door knocking. He said, if any man hear my voice, I will come into him to sup with him and he with me. And that's what happens when a society is falling apart. And so when a society is falling apart and becoming a rebellious society, God will go to extremes to try to get their attention, and hopefully somebody considers. Okay, that's the idea. Hopefully. And when you're living in a society in America where people have watched over 20,000 murders by the time they're 18 years old, God will go to extreme lengths, okay, to get their attention. In Judges, how did that book end? A society that lives on secular human. They did that which was right in their own eyes. Judges 17:6. Judges 21:25. So the way that book ends is you have a man and a concubine. He's hanging around the concubine's mom or dad for a while, and then he leaves. And you know, after a day or two or three, he leaves. And then he finally leaves, and then some transgenders want to know him. And he said, ah, forget it. How about her? Oh, it don't matter. We're bi anyway. And they abuse the woman all night long. And she dies. He gets up in the morning, and there she is laying on the porch, and he kicks her and says, woman, let's go. And she's dead. He cuts her up in 12 pieces, you know, calls the UPS truck, puts a head in a box, a hand in a box, an arm in a box, sends it to 12 tribes. Kind of morbid. And then the tribes got together and said, man, this is crazy. We need to go after that one tribe, them Benjaminites. So 11 tribes went after one tribe and lost. And the second time, they lost again. Because the Benjamites were Sodomites, and so they put bombs in their purses and they'd throw at them and they lost. Okay, and so finally, third time around, the 11 tribes win, and then they felt sorry for beating them up. You know, any nation in the world, if they want to rebuild their nation, all they got to do is get on America's bad side, just go hunker down, let America blow it up, and then America come back and build it, all brand new. Or riot in Los Angeles, because you don't like the verdict, and then they come back and rebuild it. The intelligence of that. Okay, and then they felt sorry because they didn't have some, you know, girls that they can marry, so they had a Sadie Hawkins dance where the girls invited the boys to come in, the guys kidnapped the girls, and that's how the book ends. So weird. And that's the end of a society of secular humanism, where life is cheap. Okay, and that's where America's heading. Now, it's interesting, the rebellious house is aimed at the people of God, where the world doesn't know any better, but the church should. And the church is where the rebellion starts. So it says, it may be they will consider, though they be a rebellious house. Then he says, Then shalt thou bring forth thy stuff by day in their sight as stuff for removing, and thou shalt go forth at even in their sight as they that go forth into captivity. Dig thou through the wall in their sight and carry out thereby. Now I don't know what wall he's talking about. There was a wall back in chapter 8. He dug into that wall and found the 70 ancients portraying abominable things on the walls, doing secret sacrifices, probably killing a kid in there, trying to get a hold of their God. Okay, and then it says, in their sight shalt thou bear it upon thy shoulders and carry it forth in the twilight. Thou shalt cover thy face, that they see not the ground, blindfold, for I have set thee for a sign unto the house of Israel. Okay, because the Jews require a sign. And so Ezekiel did what he was told. I'm sure Ezekiel said, this is stupid. No, he just did what God told him to do. Lord, if I had the original autographs, I'd know exactly the full meaning of what you're trying to tell me to say. And he says, and I did so as I was commanded. Amen. I brought forth my stuff, my day, as stuff for captivity. Okay, as stuff for captivity. Water, food, backpack. He's got a running backpack so he can grab all his emergency supplies. You know, he's got a hatchet or a knife in there, some string, some matches. You know, things that you need to survive anywhere in the woods. Okay, a lot of times Americans think they can survive, but yeah, right. So he's got all that stuff in his ready-made backpack, so he could just grab it and go. So he says, and in the evening I dig through the wall with mine hand, and I brought it forth in the twilight, and I bear it upon my shoulder in their sight. So he is typifying what's going to happen in the third installment or the third military campaign. He's showing them what's going to happen because he was taken on the second one and there's a third one coming. Okay, so after he did what he was told, verse 7, notice God gave him more light, verse 8. What if he did not do what he was told or believe what he was shown? No more light. And if he did not do what he's told, the next time God spoke to him, he would have said the same thing the first time. Just like he did to Jonah. Go to Nineveh. Didn't pay attention, didn't do it. Second time, go to Nineveh. What's so hard about that? And this is why a lot of people are stuck on a certain fundamental or a limited amount of knowledge of the Bible is because they won't believe all of the Bible. Okay, now I know a lot of people, all they want is a small set of fundamentals. And don't rock my boat, I'm happy in my little fundamentals. Okay, and so that's the standard. But a Bible believer wants to believe all the Bible, even if it's out of this world. It's crazy stuff. Why? Because God's more intelligent than we are. And there's so many things in the Bible that, you know, the Lord is going to show us in the millennium and say, wow, 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 that's amazing. So this is why a lot of times what the Lord does, sometimes there's an idea or a belief or an action God wants a person to do. And when they refuse to do it, they'll go to a church and they'll walk out the door and the preacher never even said that topic. But they'll walk out that door and say, that's all that guy preaches about, that topic. And he probably never even said the topic. But the Spirit of God said it to them. And until they accept that topic, then God's not going to give them any more light. The Bible's a closed book to them. So now the Lord comes to him the second time. In the morning came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, hath not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said unto thee, what doest thou? Okay, come and say, what you doing? What you doing? Okay, when they say that, what you doing, Ezekiel? He's moving the stuff out there. What you doing? 10, say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God, this burden concerneth the prince in Jerusalem. Okay, that prince is named Zedekiah. He said, this burden concerneth the prince in Jerusalem and all the house of Israel that are among them. Say, I am your sign, like as I have done, so shall it be done unto them. They shall remove and go into captivity. And the prince that is among them shall bear upon his shoulder in the twilight and shall go forth. They shall dig through the wall to carry out thereby. He shall cover his face that he see not the ground with his eyes. Why? Is that a guy got his eyes poked out? Remember, Zedekiah was told several times by Jeremiah, when Jeremiah was in prison, Zedekiah would call him up secretly and say, what's the Lord got to say? He said, well, you're going to throw me back in prison if I tell you the truth? No, I'll put you in a federal pen. You know, those are nicer than the state pens. Okay. Well, here's what the Lord said to do. Go out and surrender. You go out and surrender, you will live your life out in luxury in Babylon. He was too scared to do that. He was scared of his own shadow. He was scared of his wife. He was scared of the news media. He was scared of Jeremiah. So what'd he do? Right when Babylon was getting ready to conquer them, after 18 months of a siege around them, he figured it out, man, they're coming in. So he hightails it to NORAD. You know, that's what Dick Cheney did, you know, real brave guy. Hightails it to NORAD. So on his way to NORAD, you know, the secret military base, Babylon caught him, brought him back in front of Nebuchadnezzar, and those Orientals, they know how to torture people. And he brought his sons in front of Zedekiah, and he said, what? And he killed them. And then after that, he took the same sword and put it right in here. Put it right here. And the last thing that guy saw was his sons being killed. And he goes to Babylon, and he doesn't see the ground. Lives his life out blind as a bat because he refused to open his eyes to the things of God. So here Ezekiel's telling it. He's got Ezekiel telling it. He's got Jeremiah telling it. But you see, Jeremiah, come on. Jeremiah, he's only got a little congregation in a synagogue. They only got 15 people, man. 10 of them are old people, and nobody's going to listen to Jeremiah. I mean, he doesn't have the press. He doesn't have charisma. He doesn't have the attention of CNN and NBC. I mean, who's Jeremiah? He's a nobody. He's not even married. Yeah, but he wrote 57 chapters in the Bible, and Jeremiah just might show up again in a tribulation. So, verse 12. You're not going to see the ground. Verse 13, my net also will I spread upon him. He shall be taken in my snare, and I'll bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans. Yet shall he not see it, though he shall die there. And I will scatter toward every wind all that are about him to help him, and all his bands. So all his security, all his secret guys that take care of him, they're going to take off. And I'll draw out the sword after them. And they shall know that I am the Lord. When I shall scatter them among the nations and disperse them in the countries. Doctrine that might jump into the second coming or tribulation because of the plural. But you still would have media, you'd still have Babylon, the area, countries, Egypt. Verse 16, but I will leave a few men of them from the sword, from the famine, from the pestilence, that they may declare all their abominations among the heathen, whither they come, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Okay, so paragraph mark. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, eat thy bread with quaking. Drink thy water with trembling and with carefulness. So, you see, Jeremiah had heard about not Y2K, Y1K. Okay, and so he was preparing for it. I mean, and that's not a bad idea to do. Americans need to learn to prepare. Okay, it would have been Y6C, I guess. C's 100, right? 600 BC. So he had his water bottle. He had some wheat. He had a hand grind mill in case electricity goes out. He had a corn grinding mill in case electricity goes out. So he says, eat that bread with quaking. He made sure he didn't drop anything. It's none of this all over it, man. You got to be careful with what you're drinking, what you're eating, because you may not have much left. Drink thy water with trembling and with carefulness, full of care. Why? Because these people are getting ready to go through 18 months of siege. They're going to eat their own kids. They're going to have some rice, and if the rice starts moving, don't worry about it. That's protein. Eat it. Okay, verse 19. And say unto the people of the land, thus saith the Lord God of the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the land of Israel, they shall eat their bread with carefulness and drink their water with astonishment, that their land may be desolate from all that is therein because of the violence of all them that dwell therein. And the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, and the land shall be desolate, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Boy, that's a hard way to discover God, isn't it? It's a lot better way to discover him. Okay, now, as the word desolate, in Isaiah 62:4, it's an uppercase D, and that's a doctrinal thing for the tribulation where Israel will be desolate. The highways will be limited to the military, okay, and that's the purpose, so they can move from place to place. The highways will be uninhabited. The cities will be uninhabited, okay, except for the Muslims ratting out the Jews. That's why the Muslims are going throughout all the world. Okay, and the latest thing in New Zealand, you know, this fake shooting at a mosque, because there's no pictures. And so then the prime minister, some tranny, dresses like a Muslim and wants to get the guns away from the people. That's the intent. When they get the guns away from the people, then the Muslims get in control, then they can enforce Sharia law, and you don't have a choice in the matter. Then they can go around beheading people. Do we see the prophecies of the Bible? This is why the Muslims are going throughout the world. God is doing this, getting ready. Man, do we hear the trumpet, getting ready to hear the trumpet sound? I mean, that's the exciting part of it. Okay, and so verse 20, that was just sort of my thoughts on New Zealand. You know, I'm not sure if I'm buying into that stuff. Verse 20, and the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, what is that proverb that you have in the land of Israel? Saying, the days are prolonged and every vision faileth. Okay, so society develops common sayings. I had a guy email me. He said, I heard you say use common sayings to witness people, and I thought that was a cheesy idea. But then he said, the more I thought about it, man, that's a master idea. And the thing is people say common sayings all the time. And so when you hear them, okay, when you hear those sayings, I didn't know you believed the Bible. What? Show where it is in the Bible. The common saying. That's what makes the Bible so common. The commonality of the Bible comes from the common sayings that we hear every single day. We hear them. So that's a proverb. Why do people say certain things? It's because of the upbringing. In our culture, we say certain things because of the Bible foundation. A little birdie told me, okay, that's a Bible saying. Burning the midnight oil. Okay, that's a Bible saying. Out of the frying pan into the fire. That's a Bible saying. Kick them in the hind end. Or the more crude way. Psalm 78:66. The Lord's going to come back and he's going to smite them in the hinder parts. That's what the Lord's going to do. Man, that's going to be a good time to watch, isn't it? And when the Lord kicks them in the hinder parts, they go... I mean, and when you hear those sayings, guys in jail would ask me, what time is it? I'd say, time to get saved. You ready? They stopped asking me what time it was. And so the Lord is going to use a common saying of their day. The days are prolonged, every vision faileth. So he says, when you hear that, tell them this. Tell them, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease. To stop it. And they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. And saying unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. For there shall be no more any vain vision, or nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. divination, somebody's fortune telling, and they're in the Jewish temple. Vain vision. America had a clown back in the 60s that had a dream. And it became the black man's nightmare. It really did. It became our nightmare. Okay, but these false dreams that people had, flattering divination, flattering. Oh, this is what a narcissist likes to hear. The world revolves around me. Don't you know that? Okay, the next statement, verse 25. I got that underlined. And this is what proves the Bible, that proves the words of God. This is when people say, how do you know the Bible is true? Well, I'll say, have you read it? Well, no. I said, well, get over your bibliophobia and read it. How do you know it's true? Prophecies. That's how you know it's true. Verse 25, for I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. That's not hard to figure out. And then we just start looking for him. John 13, 19, that's what Jesus said to the apostles. John 13, verse 19, and he said it in 14, 29. He said to them, now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. That's the I am of Exodus 3, 14, 29. He said this, and now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. And he told them about his suffering, his death, who's going to kill him. He's going to rise the dead from the dead three days later. I mean, he gave about five or six or seven characteristics of it, and then boom, 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 every one of them. That's how you know. Isaiah 41, verse 21. Isaiah 40 through 48 is God bypassing the prophets, and he's speaking directly for himself. Now he's speaking through Isaiah, who was chosen to write it down. But the Lord he's gone to the United Nations, and he's walked into General Assembly, and he's going to challenge them to a debate. And they all got their little earphones on. And he says, you guys can say God and Lord, but how about Jesus Christ? How about that one? You know, what you guys all been out of shape for? And then he challenges them this, Isaiah 41, 21. He says, produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reason, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Us, God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Let them, the United Nations Assembly, show the former things what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed, and behold it all together. Behold, ye are of nothing, and your work of naught, an abomination is he that chooseth you. Boy, that would be fun to watch, wouldn't it? The Lord has allowed the United Nations Assembly to prosper as it is, because God is very efficient. He only wants to strike one match. He's getting all the nations together, Zephaniah 3, verse 8, so that he can strike one match and torch them all at one time. And that's his intent. That I may assemble the kingdoms to pour upon them my indignation and all my fiery jealousy, the fire of my jealousy. And he's going to gather them around Jerusalem, all them Muslim countries and 200 million Muslim soldiers coming after Jerusalem. And the Lord's going to come up and hit Mount Sinai with that chariot. He's going to be shooting the flames out. And he's going to be coming up the King's High, and he's going to come in east to west, and he's going to be torching them troops as he goes. And he's going to have a rare section and medium well section, and then a medium, and then the eagles are going to come in and chew what they want to chew on. And the blood's going to come up for off the horse's bridle. And he said, you're worthy to drink of it. You've been drinking these kids' blood, these innocent kids' blood, trying to get power from the devil. He said, I'm going to make you drink your own. That's one way to kill a wolf. You know, as you put a piece of frozen meat, put some broken glass inside the frozen meat, and as he starts licking on it, his tongue gets cut, and he'll drink himself to death. Okay, and so that's what the Lord's going to do to these clowns. So verse 25, I would say that's one of them vital organs of the body. Okay, you can cut your finger off and still live, but you take your heart out. There's the heart of the Bible right there, is those prophecies. That's what proves the Bible. And then he says, it shall be no more prolonged, for in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and perform it, saith the Lord God. Okay, again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come. Oh, the Lord's coming. He's not coming back. Man, they've been saying that for years. He says, and he prophesies of times that are far off. Now, that's a half-truth. In that, the first part of this prophecy is going to take place in less than 10 years. Maybe less than 3 years, 586. If my date's right, 588, it's going to be less than 2 years. But doctrinally, it's going to be repeated in the second coming. So that's kind of a half-truth. But they're thinking it's not going to happen in 2 years. Why? Oh, they're just so wonderful people. God bless Israel. Demand God to bless Israel. Cut it out. Demand God to bless America. Abortions. What's going on in this country? Demand God to bless us. We don't demand God to bless us. We ought to beg God to have mercy on this country. God, please have mercy. Verse 28, therefore say to them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged anymore. But the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. So that's that. That's dealing with the general public in verse chapter 12. In chapter 13, he deals with the cause of the apathy of the people. And what's the cause? Is the prophets. He nails them. This is like Lester Roloff going to Tennessee Temple and nailing the professors at Tennessee Temple University, which he did. He could get away with it because, he's just a dumb farmer. He did exactly what Ruckman would have done, but they wouldn't let Ruckman in there, so God let Roloff in there, and he did the same thing. The Lord has his way, doesn't he? So in chapter 13, he nails the prophets, and Ezekiel nails them again in chapter 34. So he takes two chapters and he nails the prophets of his day. Jeremiah takes an entire chapter, 23, and the Lord takes an entire chapter, Matthew 23, nailing the religious leaders of his day. And that's where the problem is. Because that's where the rebellion is with those clowns. Okay, at the Christian colleges, Christian cemeteries in the country. That's where it's at. So, okay, well, isn't it funny? It's chapter 13. 13, 13.